Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayes.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome. The Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here on a sunny Wednesday. We're going to have some great guests coming up. Christy Burton Brown, the second half hour here. But we're brought to you, as always, by
AmericaCitizenPress.com, a great conservative a website for conservative voices, and Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan, keeping Chuck healthy, not wealthy and wise so much, but that's our problem. She can help at least. She can help at least with the healthy part. All kinds of things to talk about. Christy Burton Brown is great, and I'm sure she'll take questions if we have them too. She's coming up after 3:30. But why don't you start off? I'm calling it Tucker Bags a Rhino. It was all over this morning. Tucker Carlson, who's just continuing to do a great job on Fox News, essentially just sort of speaking the truth, like we say truth straight up, had on Arkansas's governor. And basically, what they wanted to do in Arkansas was pass a law that prohibited, for all practical purposes, the chemical or castration of toddlers, of children. And the governor, this is going to shock you, he's a Republican, said, oh, no, it's Ronald Reagan would never approve of that. This is not what Republicans do.
Just a little clue for all of you. When a conservative says Ronald Reagan, what they really mean is this pansy-eyed version of Ronald Reagan, who they say was a real conservative. I mean a George Bush Republican. He was not. He couldn't have been farther from the truth. But they always, if they're a rhino, they'll bring up Reagan because he's so much more acceptable than Trump.
Exactly. If you're actually a real conservative these days, you bring up Trump. Hello.
Right,
we got more votes than any Republican candidate in the history of the universe. You're absolutely right. They bring up, Ronald Reagan. And it is ridiculous. And Tucker Carlson did a great job. But one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is not just to promote Tucker Carlson, but we need to have our eyes open. This is where things is going. This is Citizens United, which was a 2010 Supreme Court decision that essentially said billionaires and corporations can contribute as much money to elections as they want.
And the Democrats fought that tooth and nail, and once the decision came down, they just took over the corporation.
Right, exactly.
I mean, they're always brilliant. They always go, okay, well, then we'll just make all the corporations woke.
I mean, and this is what we're seeing in this country today with the Major League Baseball being moved. Mm-hmm. Even though Colorado is less, you would think of it diverse, its laws, election laws are the same. It's just, nope, they're punishing Georgia. And you ask yourself, why are corporations doing this? Well, Citizens United essentially took the power away a little bit. It started shifting it away from the act, just like voters, from us. And it's giving it to the people who can play huge in politics, which are the billionaires and the major.
Who used to be Republicans.
Who used to be, right.
And then the Democrats went, they said, okay, we'll just take over the corporation and we'll control everything.
And by then they were contributing it through campaign contributions. Then they further it by contributing through lobby groups. I remember Ted Trimpa, our Democrat strategist friend, saying one time it used to be his job was to kind of bundle money to find like millionaires and bundle. He's like, no, not even millions. If you go, hi, I'd like to donate a million, they'll be like, million? I don't know. I guess we can send you
a lemonade stand.
We could get you a pen or something like that for that. So that power, the money power, started shifting the power, the voters' rights away. But that wasn't enough for corporations. What we're seeing now is they're like, wait a minute. We saw what happened with Trump. Sometimes the voters actually can make a difference and they rebel. And then, all of our global corporate interests, which is aimed at crushing the middle class and feathering our own nests, Trump put a kibosh on that at least for 4 years. They don't want that to happen again. So they're saying, hey, heck with fair elections. We're just going to start buying the elections as well, which in your own, it makes sense if you're a businessman. It's like, wait, why do I have to bother contributing to campaigns? Why do I have to lobby? I'm just going to buy the election in the first place, right?
Well, and I'll prevent anything I don't like, information I like, and call it hate speech or disinformation.
Exactly.
Or Trump at all. If Trump gets on the thing,
can't even have his voice on.
I mean, what third world country have we become?
It is a country ruled by companies, by corporations. It's not, I would argue, a democracy. It was a republic, but I mean, it's not where voters matter very much at all anymore. And we've got to fight like heck. And we're going to play some sound bites from Tucker Carlson. But that, I think, is what I want us to like look at this interview in light of. Because why, you ask yourself, would this Republican governor want to destroy his reputation? Just like Kristi Noem, why would they want to destroy their careers? And the answer is money, I suspect. And Tucker Carlson gets to that in the end. But in the meantime, it is kind of fun to watch him just push, 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 smack this guy around in the interview. And he had to have been suspecting that it was going to be
if they're rhinos, people are going to love them.
Yeah, so we're going to play a series of the Tucker Carlson soundbites and then a Donald Trump soundbite to kind of lay this out for you. So, Thomas, if we could play the Tucker Carlson bite number one, interview with Arkansas's governor.
And there are all kinds of, we're talking about minors, children here, and there are all kinds of things in Arkansas kids in every state are not allowed to do. Get married, drink a beer, get a tattoo. Why do you think it's important for conservatives to make certain that children can block their puberty, be chemically castrated? Why is that a conservative value, if you would tell us?
Well, first of all, you have parents involved in very difficult decisions. You have physicians that are involved in these decisions. And I go back to William Buckley. I go back to Ronald Reagan, the principles of our party, which believes in a limited role of government. Are we as a party abandoning a limited role of government and saying we're going to invoke the government decision making over and above physicians, over and above healthcare, over and above parents, and saying you can't do that?
So you believe it's healthcare?
You cannot engage
in that. How deeply have you studied this topic? With respect, it doesn't sound like you've studied it very deeply.
And then he goes on, the governor says, oh, yeah, so, and Tucker's like, well, what did you find out? And then he's like, whoa, I can't remember. He didn't say that. But it was just ridiculous. And I mean, a couple of things.
Well, drinking beer, can't parents make the decision for their kids? I mean, what does it apply? The problem is, you know, ever since children have been born, there have been parents who love to dress up little boys as girls, and they usually get over it, but and kids are tomboys, and they go, okay, well, why don't we just genetically destroy your gender and make you a boy, kind of a boy, and then when you're 18, you can kill yourself.
I mean, anybody who's had a child knows, I mean, they think they're horses, right? They think they're Peter Pan. They think they're pirates. They think they're all kinds of things, and they get a little bit older, and they realize, oh, actually, I'm not a pirate. Actually, I'm not a horse. On top of that, though, the hypocrisy, there are some cultures which a tradition is female genital mutilation. Now, that's a parent's choice, right?
Yeah,
that is to a great extent.
Yeah.
Right, and we don't allow that.
So, well, along with the doctor.
So what's the difference, right? Because if it's genital mutilation, I mean, what they're doing, chemical castration, seems to me to be fairly similar. I mean, just the hypocrisy alone. But again, you got to ask yourself, why is this a big issue? This, and Tucker Carlson goes on to say, this has only been an issue like in the last 10 years. Why is that? You got to ask yourself. And we get into that a little bit in the next bite. So if we could play Tucker Carlson number two, please, Thomas.
As Tucker, you are a conservative. You have a great background in that. Where are we getting back to the limited role of government that we don't have to invoke ourselves in every societal position out there?
Then why don't we allow 18-year-olds to drink beer in Arkansas? Why don't we allow them to get tattoos? Why don't we allow 15-year-olds to get married? You vetoed a bill that would have protected children, not adults, children, to whom a different standard applies, from a life-altering permanent procedure that has effects we can only guess at, but the early indication is they're very serious and very negative in some cases. And now you're telling me you do that because you're a friend of limited government? Okay, then why are we preventing kids from drinking? Sincere question. Or getting married? Sincere question. Having sex. They're not old enough to have sex, but they're old enough to be chemically castrated? How does that work exactly? I'll listen. as you explain.
And of course, he didn't do a very good explanation. But that is, why the hypocrisy? Why is the one thing okay and this isn't? Why the big deal about this transgender? I mean, the gay rights battle was won, and now all of a sudden it's transgender.
Won
by the gay rights activists, right? So, but it's like that wasn't enough. So now we have to go on to this transgender thing. Well, and my thing is what is their bottom line? And I think it has a lot to do, once again, with disrupting society, with making us, like Charles Barkley said, with making us hate each other, with making us be canceled and you're not woke and you're going to be punished if you don't toe the party line. And the reason they want you to toe the party line is they don't want you asking questions like that. They don't want you asking questions saying, well, why is it illegal to have genital mutilation? Why is it illegal for an 18-year-old to drink a beer or get a tattoo, but it is okay for children and toddlers to undergo this huge transformation that is not reversible if they change their mind? And we've already seen cases with woke parents fighting about it, and woke parents wanting to, be cool in their little soccer mom group or whatever. I mean, every actress anymore, all their children are transgender. Ask, why are they pushing that? And I think it goes back to, again, they want to destabilize society. And the best way to do that is you destabilize families, you get rid of religion, you replace the government. The government will tell you if it's okay. I mean, far from being limited government, this is the government telling you, oh no, this is okay. They teach the Muppets now. I mean, it's just ridiculous the lengths that we're going
to. Asa Hutchinson vetoed another bill about a year ago that stood up for religious liberty and discrimination against religious groups. And he said, well, he had a deep discussion with his son. It didn't reveal that his son was a member of the Socialist Workers Party.
There you go.
Or Socialist Democratic Party. He is the typical, they look conservative, they talk the talk, and they never walk the walk. And do we have a section on corporations?
Yeah, that's coming up. Here's the thing. That is why the first part is, it is so important. I think it's true. Donald Trump is a walking red pill. And his whole MAGA movement, it's a walking red pill. And bottom line, if you think it's okay to chemically castrate a toddler, then you're not on the side of right, okay? And you're a woke person. Anything who claims to be woke.
Well, we know the divorce case where the father said, the wife had convinced the child that she really was a transgender. And the child, too, I don't know.
The child was little, right? So he didn't know.
7, 8 years old.
And again, all of this, I think, gets down to, and we're going to play this next soundbite, because Tucker Carlson raises a question. Why is this a big deal all of a sudden? Who's making it a big deal? And the governor gives a very weaselly answer. But if we could play Tucker Carlson number 3, please.
This field barely existed 10 years ago. Cases of gender dysphoria, so-called, have increased by thousands of percent in the last decade. So actually, we can't know the answers to these questions. The research that we have suggests the opposite of what you're claiming. You clearly aren't familiar with the research. And so my question is, have you spoken to any of the biggest employers, the big companies in Arkansas, about this? Have you taken any calls from Tyson's, from Dillard, from Walmart? Has anyone from those companies called you about this bill?
No, but Tucker, you're saying, first of all,
you haven't spoken
no
to
studies,
one
then you
corporate
cite a study.
Interest. No. There is not a single study that I'm aware of that shows an improvement in the mental health of children who take puberty blockers, who are chemically castrated. And you couldn't cite one. You're not familiar with the research. You were told by doctors that it's a good idea and you went with it. But I just want to clarify very quickly. Have you, and I just want to be clear on this, have you spoken to any corporate interest in the state of Arkansas about this bill?
Tucker, I answered that. I answered that question, and I said, no, I have not.
No,
you have another question.
Okay. I'm skeptical because
Tucker?
We've certainly seen across the, let me just say, Governor, with respect, I'm skeptical that not a single corporation in the state of Arkansas has weighed in with you one way or the other on this bill.
And the governor
says he knows he's got inside information.
Right, he's got inside information. He has.
So no, he didn't talk to the corporation. He talked to their lobbyist,
right,
or some other weasel answer. So Tucker has been knows that Tyson and Dillard's and Walmart have been weighing in for reasons. The crazed corporate takeover of corporations and all the rest of it.
And I'm going to say, I mean, Walmart was sued by a transgender person and lost and had to pay a lot of money. We see here in Colorado the ongoing battle with Jack Phillips, who is now being sued by a person who wanted him to make them a cake for their gender reveal party because they had undergone it was a transgender person. And they are clearly on the left. They are clearly gearing up. This is a big push. And again, it is something that is designed, as Charles Barkley said, to divide us, to make us hate each other, to give them something else to cry racist, bigot, anti-this, anti-that, homophobic, transphobic. They want to cancel you. And you've got these corporations that are willing to weigh in. I submit part of the whole Citizens United move to take over the country essentially for their own goods. So it's like, okay, fine. If you're the Democrat, if you want this to be your issue, we will help you push this issue. We will contact the governor and we will move Major League Baseball out of, you know, Georgia,
Right. What's amazing about Denver is that even though we have a black mayor, a black police chief, black this, a black that, a black that, only 9% of the population is black.
Right.
And Hispanics, I think, I mean, forget the whites, they're not entitled to anything, of course, but Hispanics go, wait a minute, we're a much bigger percentage. Why don't we get the positions?
Again, it is part of they're in cahoots anymore, and you've got the big tech people. So you've got literally a handful of billionaires, and then you've got political action committees, campaign committees, all of them weighing in and using all of their money influence to shape politics, to make social decisions, to make decisions about our schools, to make decisions about what our kids learn, what our kids can and cannot do, whether we have to wear a mask or not, whether we can, you know, sit outside in the park without a mask on. All of these things they're pushing because they want to control us, because all they really want is to make sure that they can continue to make more billions of dollars. They don't care who it hurts. Everybody's seen that little boy crying at the border saying, look, I'm 10 years old. The group that brought me across illegally, I mean, never mind what's going on with his parents, but they abandoned him. And he's like, can you please help me? Breaks your heart. Alex Jones, who people may make fun of him from his InfoWars thing, basically helped save a bunch of kids at the border. A guy was putting them in the trunk of a car. They don't care about that. They just care about furthering their agenda and making sure that they have the votes, however they get them, to further their agenda. And that's what these big corporations are about. And I believe that is one of the reasons they're kind of joining forces to push some of these these fringe issues, and all of a sudden make them mainstream so you can be canceled if you don't say the right thing. We've got Sherry from Lakewood online too. Hey, Sherry, thanks for calling in.
Hi, I'll make it quick, but I did want to comment when you're talking about why the transgender, why you want to change the sex of a little child. And if a little child can decide what sex they are, then that little child, the next step is can decide who they have sex with. Pedophilia is a big, big issue. Why do they want all these children coming across the border? Why did Trump put an end to it? Trump has done a tremendous job of trying to stop this sex trafficking, which is pedophilia, which is having sex with little children. That's why those little children unaccompanied are coming over the border. That's why you look at Hollywood. I mean, it's a big issue, and that's why the transgender, because now they can decide what sex they are, they can decide who they want to have sex with. It's sick, but that's what you need to look at.
No, I think, and you know what, I did, when I was working as a reporter, did a whole series of stories over the years about pedophilia, and you are right on that. That, I believe, is the next step. We see the transgender people, you know, the drag queens teaching in kindergartens, and of course, then being arrested for sex crimes, right? Oh, there's a shock. And the sexualization of children in any number of ways, but you're right. What they're doing is they're trying to say the kids can decide, the parents don't need to decide. I mean, What doctor in their right mind? Can you think of a doctor in their right mind looking at a toddler and saying, oh, I think it's a good idea. You know, if you say, are you a boy or a girl? And the kid says, I'm a horse or I'm a pirate. And the doctor says, well, pirates are boys. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I think you're right. I don't think it's just the pedophilia, but I think that is a piece of it.
It's
and I think that's
part of
the next step.
Society, whatever their goal. Well, thanks, Sherry. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Yeah, 888-627-6008 if people want to weigh in. 888-627-6008. I think the other thing it does is it slowly but surely, and Karen Cataline is great, she's talked about this, it dismantles essentially a moral fiber for the country, right? And then now, so then you go into the schools, not our school, thank God, and you start talking to the kids about, well, this is okay, that's okay, who knows what sex you are, you don't know what sex you are. And again, it destroys families. They've been long attacking fathers. They've been long attacking strong men, except for Andrew Cuomo. I guess he gets a pass. But it's he's still a governor, right? And it's the kind of thing, again, they want to destroy what we're based on, really, which is family and faith and God, and they want to replace it with government. And that's why it's such a
government
joke.
Government and some form of a sick society.
Right, and this is from Leo. Well, Hunter Biden told me she was 18. There you go. Yeah. True, and this is from Charlene. True, Sherry, if we don't stop this, it's a slippery slope to pedophilia. Yeah, it absolutely is. Again, where do you think they get this whole thing about, you know, it's what you're not, what a CNN is saying, you can't tell at birth the gender of a child? I'm like, oh yeah, you can.
I noticed when Rev came out of the womb, what gender he was.
And if you change the diaper, you can tell what gender they are. I can tell you that as well, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous to say that, but they want to make it fluid, right? And that is the next step. If you can say, well, you know, my gender is fluid, it changes. Well, what about your sexual preferences? Are those fluid too? Well, what if you're, say, well, I self-identify as a 14-year-old. Does that make, even though I'm 48, or I self-identify as a 6-year-old?
Michael Jackson. I mean,
again, and it, when it's so hypocritical for this governor to abandon all of his moral grounding and say, oh, it's just because I'm worried about, you know, I want to keep limited government. Well, he's aiming. Well, then it's accomplishing just the opposite. It's accomplishing the government is going to tell us everything. And who's going to be telling the government what to do? Giant corporations, right? I mean, Walmart, Jeff Bezos, it's, you know, Zuckerberg, all of these people, once again, who made billions off of the pandemic.
They're making more billions and more billions while Biden says he wants to tax everybody because he's sad of the little guy getting fleeced as he fleeces him. It's obscene stuff.
And so it is so important, again, that we continue to identify the rhinos. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
This whole thing, they have pushed so far that it's pretty hard for, I mean, you know, no one took this guy. Like he said, he ruined his career. I mean, you to seriously say, but to seriously argue, well, it's limited government is the reason that I don't want to tell doctors that they can't chemically castrate toddlers. It's like, well, no, that's not a very good reason. And he sounded stupid saying it. And he's taking a lot of flack. Right. But again, I don't know if it's not better than having a Democrat governor in there. What do you think?
Well, Democratic governors are even worse, but you don't know who to elect anymore.
Right. Hang on. Oh, Ben is.
Hang on, folks.
Okay, hold on. We're getting texts from people. Oh, okay. Ben is saying, is BBS Radio having problems? The site can't be reached. If people are having trouble, you can. Ben isn't listening. I mean, if he can't hear me, but you can always go to our YouTube channel. We're live there and we're live on Facebook as well. I guess I should say that if you ever have trouble getting to us, chuckandjulie.com will link you to the BBS site, which then shows up here. But if you're having trouble there, you can just go straight to YouTube, the Chuck and Julie Show. And you can also just go straight to Facebook or something like that. And we are on Zoom. Exactly. And the Zoom, let me tell you this, the Zoom meeting number is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423.
But Thomas, you should check on the...
Let us know if you're having issues there. So that's what I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. Well, the way we have been, because it leads into the next thing I want to talk about. And that is one other way we fight back. And that is with a boycott. When you have companies, I mean, I got to tell you what, you couldn't pay me to go to the Major League Baseball game, All-Star game in Denver.
No.
Number one, no one's going to the Rockies games anyways.
We had a friend who'd been to 33 straight All-Star games. He loved it. He's not going.
He's not going. So if we could now play the Trump soundbite, please.
The people you're talking about, some of them live in foreign countries. They run these big multinational companies, and they're making calls from London and other places, and they don't even know what's happening. No, I think it's a disgrace. And frankly, if Republican conservatives ever got their act together, which they should, if we had some real leadership instead of Mitch McConnell and the group, if we had some real leadership, what you'd be doing is something much different. They'd be boycotting these companies, and those companies would be coming. That's what the liberals do. Mm-hmm. They boycott anybody that speaks out. They boycott them. They cancel them, and they boycott them. We have more people than they do. So what should happen is the Republicans and, let's say, Republican conservatives, Republicans, you could call it whatever you want, the right, if they would boycott these companies that are so above it all, you'd find that they would come back into the fold very quickly. But right now, the liberals, the radical left, plays a much to the Democrats. They play a much tougher game.
Well, and that's what I think we have to do, too. We've talked about this before. Republicans have to toughen up. Republicans have to get, I would just say, maybe not meaner, but certainly more strategic. We need to, where election laws are concerned.
But it's hard when you've got former leaders like John Boehner and Paul Ryan and the Bushes and the whole lot of them. It's true here in Colorado, where we have the same rhinos that are called the establishment that really just want to get their money from the contracts for their favorite consultants. And we've got to have a party that actually says something and means something. It can't be a Kevin Priola party or Carlin Larson party. And it was so fascinating to watch. And we've got Christy Burton Brown coming up hopefully.
Sometime after 3:30.
Sometime after.
She had meetings. So she had said, she'll pop in after she can.
Pop in,
she said, on Zoom. Well, you know, and again, that's why.
But we had a whole meeting down in the tech center, and all of a sudden on seconding, which was supposed to have one person, but Scott Gusser didn't do it. He had every legislative leader, and they all just said, no electing Kirsty Britton Brown. No. We want our same old, same old. Well, the grassroots had it with them. They've had it. We're not going to just do what Hugh McCain thinks or Chris Holbert thinks and have them just say the same but less because they get to pretend they change the bill 1% and the Democrats get 99%. We've got to have some people who really will stand up. We don't need, President Trump was right, we don't need Mitch McConnell anymore.
No.
And we don't need the Mitch McConnell in the state legislature either.
And I got to tell you, I suspect that some of those guys are in for a huge awakening too. The left has been, and we've seen this, would anyone have predicted a year ago that it would be as bad as it is? Would anyone have predicted, even if thinking that Trump might not win, that the border crisis would be what it is? Would anyone be saying we're still wearing stupid masks in Colorado, even though all the polls are, nobody is worried about the coronavirus anymore? Why are we all still doing this? And I think it's important to realize the good news is grassroots Republicans are waking up, and not just grassroots Republicans, but people in general are waking up. You look at some of the polls and they're like, that wasn't right of Major League Baseball to move over this, voting right thing. Polls are polls, but the vast majority of people say, well, wait a minute, having to show an ID to vote, that's not a bad thing. That's not voter suppression. People get instinctively and common sense wise, you have to show an ID for all kinds of things. Right. So there's no problem with showing it to vote. People get that. Well, no, one person, one vote. That's the idea. The Democrats do a good job of trying to label it as suppression. But I think people are becoming more woke. We're going to have to do boycotts. I do wonder, though. I mean, it's going to be hard. This is not going to be easy. The Democrats have slid things so far down that you've got the rhinos now, vetoing bills that would, again, prohibit chemical castration of toddlers, as if somehow that should be something that people put up for debate, or that having to show an ID to vote somehow or another should be up for debate, that having people who are not citizens
not
in
debate,
this country.
A matter of if you do require an ID to vote, which is just every country in the world does.
Right.
That's somehow Jim Crowish. I mean,
right. Well, and then,
who enforced Jim Crow?
Democrats.
Yeah, of course. They're just evil people.
And the Georgia, there's somebody in Georgia, this is kind of funny. They were going to repeal their law and replace it with Delaware's law, which is where Biden is from, which is the same law, right? Which is the same thing, and see if he could call it Jim Crow there. But here's the thing.
Leo said you've got to show an ID to get in the ballet on Fridays. He's absolutely right, unless you have a
Oh, that's right. You have to show your fob to get to the boys, the ballet, not the ballet, to get to the ballet on Fridays. You have to show, that's right. If you show your fob and your fob does not match your picture ID, Leo, you don't get in to the boys club there. But the Democrats, I think, and I'm hoping, this is what I hope, that they are so far gone now. They think that they have it under control. The corporations, Facebook, Twitter, they think that they have it under control anymore. They think that they don't have to pretend. They think that they can just go buy ballot boxes and put them out there and then pay people to collect the ballots and put them in the ballot boxes that really Facebook owns, right? So they aren't worried anymore, but I'm hoping that they are overconfident and that that will catch up with them.
We'll see. You got to be able to learn how to mechanics of elections, which is not Marbury EFD anymore. But we've got
Thomas, if we could bring Christy into the Zoom meeting. I think she's joined the waiting room, so if we could get her up too, that would be great. And we can ask her some of these questions. Because I think it is a battle. I think the Conservative Treehouse, which I just really recommend, it's a great site. They talk about this. This has been coming for a long time. And now how much of it was planned, how much of it they're taking advantage of, I don't know.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah, I don't think we can think for a second, though, that we can just sit back idly and hope that it all goes away.
All right, Christy, turn on your mute button or turn
unmute
it off.
Yourself.
Unmute yourself.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can.
Great to see you.
Good to see you both.
And congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm in my office, hard at work.
All right. Wow. You do have pictures and stuff in the background.
I do. If I showed you my other wall, you'd see.
Okay. This is the
bare wall.
Well, how's your first week or so gone?
Really well. I mean, we've been working on creating those action committees I talked about when I was running for chairman, people in charge of outreach, media development, grassroots, just a number of things, working on filling those spots, certainly getting the ball rolling on fundraising. We're going to have our first executive committee meeting with you, Chuck, at the end of this month and propose the budget. So we are just trying to get...
Let me speak on that. I don't know what the staff thinks. I've requested twice now, several times, a copy of last year's budget and audit. And do I have to sue you to get it? We're not just going to approve a budget without you. Your staff may think we're fools. They may think that they can just kick us around and just pretend, ignore our requests. But I'll sue. I'm entitled to look at the budget to make a meaningful decision.
I'll press you
to ask them to please send me last year's budget and the audit thereof. Because a lot of us are getting a little upset. They think they've always run this like it's their party, but not the and the executive committee are just some annoying people out there. But they're going to find out that we're going to get even more annoying if they keep on refusing.
They have meetings, Christy. I got to warn you.
Yeah, we have meetings separately, and we're running for bear. Can you request LX to please send me last year's budget and the audit thereof so I can make it? Are we supposed to approve the budget at the first executive meeting?
So, yes, I will be the one presenting the budget, actually, not my staff. I will be presenting it myself.
We're not going into a meeting and just approving whatever the staff came up with.
I think she's saying she's presenting it.
Well, I know she's presenting it, but are we supposed to approve it that day?
That is the executive committee's choice. Usually we put it out in time for them to be able to see it and look at it. You get to ask questions. Like, that's the whole point of this executive committee meeting, is to present the budget for the new cycle. Like, that's what the chairman always does at the first executive committee meeting. And you are entitled to ask your questions and all of that.
When do you plan to put out the budget?
She said she's working on it.
We're currently working on it right now. And we have the meeting scheduled for the end of the month. So you will get messages on that as a member of the executive committee.
I can tell you, because I've been involved in a lot of city governments. And what the staff always does, they think they're going to fool all the decision makers and not, give it to them 2 days before. It's like a U.S. Senate bill. You can go through thousands of
words. Well, no, it's in it when we sign it.
And you can figure out what's in it. And, of course, the other question a lot of us are discussing is, and this is a key of any budget, is what happens if you don't follow the budget? Yeah. The budget is a
living
estimate. Unless you have to come back to us if you deviate from the budget by 5%, our approval is meaningless. It is a meaningless approval if the staff can just spend the money any way they want, and then the next year you get another one saying, "Oh yeah, we didn't follow that budget at all. We gave
so they can't." That's not how it works. Just so you know, first of all, the executive committee, I know you're a new member of it. It is an advisory committee, except they do have the power to approve or not approve the budget and also director level salaries. And to hear controversies, those are some things the executive committee has power to like decide. I know you've been a part of those controversies already. Sure. But the budget, in fact, you get a financial report at every single executive committee meeting. So you do get to see how the funds are spent according to how they were budgeted. And you have the right to ask questions and to evaluate it.
What if you don't, you know, no budget is perfect. I've never known a perfect budget.
This is true.
What happens when more money is needed for A and no money is needed for B? Do you need to get our permission to violate that budget or change that budget? Not just discuss it. Do you have to get our approval if you vary from the budget from a certain percentage?
So all that information is in the bylaws. To my knowledge, the bylaws specifically define the executive committee has having the ability to approve the budget for the 2-year cycle at the beginning of that cycle, and then to get financial reports at every meeting. And let me think what else. I believe that it's an advisory committee, and that's not my choice of how it's set up. That's in the bylaws how it's set up. Well, so that's usually how it's
set up. Otherwise, they have no. Wait, let me two questions. Because Leo has a good suggestion, which I was going to ask too. So Leo, great minds think alike. Is it possible to not just send the budgets to Chuck, but to put them on the website? I would think if you could send it to Chuck, you could pretty easily put a link on the website so that everybody could look at it. Is that doable?
So the reason we don't, you'll see the Democrats don't do that either. We don't want the we have zero interest in the Democrats seeing the details of our budget, just as they have zero interest in us seeing the details of their budget. So no political party in Colorado, either Democrats or Republicans, ever publicly put their budget on the website. However, members of the state central committee can, in fact, according to the bylaws, come into the office and request to look at those financials in the budget, and they can do that in the office.
I can see your reasoning here.
Let me finish this. I mean, at the one, John Fielding got up and said, you're supposed to publish quarterly reports and send them out, and you don't send them out.
The bylaws don't, to my knowledge, the bylaws don't require them to be sent out. They require them to be made available. And so I believe the best standard is to make them available in the office, because there has been trouble historically in the past when they used to be published and sent out, not on the website, but in other forms, and they got spread around in a way that they absolutely should not have been. So having people come into the office and then making it available to them is certainly appropriate.
So you're saying that the bylaws not require our approval for you
for the change
for massive changes in the budget.
Yeah, and over the last 2 years, which is the only time I've been on the executive committee, I did not see massive changes like that. We got financial reports every time the executive committee met, and there were never issues like that over the last 2 years. I guess you can see if you think there are over these two, but certainly not in my plans to do this.
We've got MBAs. I mean, you guys are used to a different executive committee than the one you're going to get.
Christy's not you guys.
Okay. She's a brave girl. Thank you. You're gonna get a much more. And here's what I want to congratulate you on: appointing Casper Stockholm. That was a great choice for the executive committee.
Thank you.
Have you made any other choices for the executive committee?
I have. We will be publishing and announcing that by the end of the week.
Let me back you up.
People
need to understand what it is. Can you explain what you're talking about there, Christy?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the executive committee. I mean, it is in the bylaws, the advisory board for the Republican state central, or not state central committee, but actually just the entire state party. And the executive committee is made up of 25 members. They are our officers. They are representative of the House minority, the Senate minority, a representative from each congressional district, two elected large county and small county representatives, and then the chairman gets 6 appointments, 2 representing large counties, 2 representing small counties, and then 2 who have to be members of the state central committee, but it can be anyone on that committee.
Okay.
And that's, that adds up to 24, doesn't it?
I know there's 25 because I just looked at it, so perhaps I forgot to name one.
Maybe you. Maybe there's you.
I only
maybe me.
And we've seen
See,
this.
I told you he's keeping track of the numbers here already.
He is. This is good. This is good.
Votes and so forth. Well, for example, LX is not part of the executive committee. It may not, although he seems to be list himself on it. And other people we've seen listed on the voting executive committee who are not members.
Yeah, he's never been listed as a member of the executive committee, but often the executive director will participate in the meeting because they do help run it, but they're not a voting member of the committee ever.
I would like to give a boost to a couple more grassroots people because
Chuck's making nominations here.
Well, I will tell you my committee is already full. I've already made all the appointments, but you're welcome too. Tell me anyway.
Okay, well, I hope you added Peg Cage, who really was the person who got us, helped get us the virtual meeting.
She did a very good job.
Ben Nicholas, Anil Mathai. Everybody's going to be watching if it's the same old, that have driven the party down to almost irrelevance.
I'll say I think you'll be very happy with my appointments. My goal on the executive committee is to have the honestly, a wide range of our party represented. I think that's important to build unity across the state. But there are absolutely grassroots, untypical voices on our executive committee. I believe we need that to push our party in the right direction.
Okay, let me ask you one more time. Am I going to get a copy of last year's budget and the audit thereof?
I will ask about that. Honestly, I haven't checked into what the and I'm a big fan of following bylaws. I used to be on the bylaws committee for the last 2 years. So let me check and see how we give out budgets, past budgets. You certainly get access to my budget, but I will find out about the past one for you.
I'm not sure how I can make an intelligent decision on your budget if I never get to look at other budgets. And I'm a little surprised. I mean, I've been on lots of corporate boards. No one would say, no, you can't look at last year's financials. I've never heard of a board that says you can't look at last to educate yourself on the process. So the bylaws probably.
I will make that request and find out exactly what we can
request
do.
For whom? You're the chair. Who are you going to request it to?
Oh, can't you just tell? Are you
tell? You don't have to ask anybody.
Here's what I'm trying to say. I believe that even the chair should be held to the bylaws. I am a big fan.
The bylaws about last year's financials, so it's not in there because I've checked. But part of good corporate governance, if you've ever been on a major board, is that board members must get the information to be able to give an informed decision.
And that is absolutely true of boards that this is an advisory board and they're in line.
It is not an advisory board. It must approve.
It is according to the bylaws. No, but I am more than happy to check into all the information that we're able to make accessible to you. Okay. I will get back to you on that.
It decides what the salaries are. For director, it doesn't advise you on those salaries. It decides yes or no. It decides the budget yes or no. It does not advise you on the
it's
budget.
It's advisory in other areas. But
it's an advisory board that gets yes or no votes on certain matters.
Right.
Well,
right.
You're going to find your advisory board, depending on who you appoint, we're not going to have the same old, same old. We're not going to have you come in and become a Steve House, where all of a sudden the establishment comes back and we have the same old Andy George, same old Clear Creek strategies and everything else. And I don't want to sound like I'm sounding.
I think the people that elected me and voted for me know that I'm not the same old, same old. I have a different perspective. I came from the grassroots. You see with my appointment of Casper, which I think is the one that's been made public so far, I am appointing new voices to the executive committee. I want good advice from my executive committee. I want to hear from people from all wings of the party. I think that is important. It often has not been done. I do have a different style of leadership that I think is important.
Let me ask you this then too, because some specific, not real specific about that, but one of the complaints we've had, and because I want to give you a chance, because we do support you. It may not sound like it from Chuck at this moment, but we do support you. And, mostly we just want to win. Right? We
Absolutely.
Just want to win. And when we're talking about the money, I think one could argue that the ways the Republican Party has raised money, the party, and then has spent the money, we haven't won. So whatever they're doing, it hasn't been working. Do you have any sort of new ideas or new thoughts on how to...
Well, let me give another compliment, which I think is great. You put out, and people have been begging for this for 4 years, you said, hey, we've got these key elections coming up in various towns. We have Republican Party people in them, and Republicans, please get out and vote for the Republican ones. In some cases, they're nonpartisan, but they're still Republican. Right. It's like Denver. Yeah. They're nonpartisan, but everybody knows who they are. And that was such a welcome relief. Somebody is paying, because we're not going to win the statewide races as long as Denver can dominate them. But we can win, and we must win the smaller race. And so I can't tell you how many positive calls I got saying, did you see she sent out one for local races? And
I really believe winning starts local. That is how we have to approach it from the Republican Party. We are the party of small and local government, and yet we've gotten away from that, I think, and lost our focus on these local races that build our bench, that control small government functions that actually affect people's day-to-day lives. And so, you know, we did want to start out really strong with that, and you'll see more local involvement from us in the November elections as well, where a number of key cities are holding elections. So I'm glad you like that. We'll definitely continue to focus on
local elections. Local elections have been ignored by the Republican Party. As a lot of people say, you're not going to win the bigger ones unless you figure out how to win the smaller ones.
You get the bench too. Anything else that you're doing? I'll give you a softball question here.
Grills. Hey, I like it.
No, I know. But I think though it's a good question, not just a softball question. But what other sort of new ideas or, because again, you know, we have to start winning. So what do they say? You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So what kind of non-insane ideas do you have to help us start winning again?
Yeah, well, and I will take a minute to talk about the action committees that we're creating, because I think over the years, we've had this huge body of people, the State Central Committee. And when I say it's huge in comparison to other states. Some states literally have 12 to 30 people who run the entire state party. We have 500 people across the state of Colorado that get a say, you know, who just elected me as chairman, who get a say in many other things in the state party. But they often literally are invited to two meetings a year, and that is it. Many of them are very involved in their county parties, but the state party doesn't call on them to use their talents and skills to help our candidates get elected. So that's why we're forming these action committees, where some are going to be focused on like inner city outreach, literally. Some are going to be focused on creating graphics and media and op-eds that we can use. Others are going to be focused on future leaders conferences, where we're building our bench and training up more people. Others on candidate support. So, that's only a portion of the list. So basically, we're activating people who have talents, who have skills, who have time, who love our party and can help our candidates get elected. So that's one unique idea that we're starting out with. And there's more, but that's one.
Because I know I talked with Jeff Eggemeyer, who worked with the Trump campaign. And that was some of the stuff that the Trump campaign did, is rather than have like everything really top heavy, they formed all these other committees and said, okay, you know, for instance, about sportsmen, I'm going to let you handle the sport. I mean, is that kind of what you're modeling that after a little bit?
So it is similar to that, except that these are very, very action-based. And they basically, instead of taking people's interests or maybe associations, it's actually taking their talents and skills and saying, okay, what do we not just talk about with that, but actually get out and do things about it that eventually lead to training more candidates, recruiting more volunteers, and getting our candidates elected in 2022. So they're very action-based committees.
Let me ask you a question, because everybody's asking it of me. Is LX staying or going?
He was already planning on moving on, so he will not be staying.
Do we have a new person?
We will be announcing our executive director on Friday, in fact.
Oh, do we know them?
I think you do, but we'll announce on Friday.
It's not Chuck, though, I guess.
sorry to disappoint.
I don't know. No, I'm
You'd be great. You'd keep me in line. Hey, what more could I ask for?
What about this? One thing I would like to see the Republican Party in Colorado do is be much more vocal. For instance, with this Major League Baseball coming to Denver, I wish you guys could put a statement out and say, I mean, just pointing out some of the things that other Republicans have been and pointing out and standing maybe in solidarity with Georgia and say, why are we letting corporations dictate to us? I mean, are we going to be seeing more of that kind of thing from you when there is something happening, speaking out rather than being, because what happens when you don't, then they end up interviewing some of the same old.
Dick Wadhams can tell us.
And I think people who don't truly represent or speak for the average Republican in Colorado anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what you'll see out of us. We definitely are having another conversation we had today was you know, how are we going to make sure we're constantly speaking out on issues that people in Colorado care about? And over the last couple of days, what we actually chose to speak out about was SB 182, which I'm sure you're familiar with, the one that would have allowed crime in our schools. You could literally do sexual assault against another child, physical assault against a teacher. And if the harm wasn't too serious, you could not be arrested in school. And I'm sure you heard yesterday, the Democrats actually decided to pull their bill because of all the pushback they were getting. So it's picking those kind of battles that we are on the side of parents, we are on the side of students, our base cares about it. But so do all these swing voters that we've got to win over. And they see our party standing strong and calling attention to the dangers and the damage the Democrats are creating in our state. So over the last few days, we were speaking out about that. We were speaking out about the local elections and the need for Republicans to vote in them. So you'll continue to see us use our voice to speak out about the things we think are most important, you know, every single week here in Colorado.
Okay.
Well, let me ask one other question about, well, two questions. One,
we're almost out of time, so you're
okay. I'm almost out of the woods here.
Okay.
A lot of people would like to see the Republican Party of Colorado support Jack Phillips, as he's constantly being attacked.
Masterpiece cake shop.
Masterpiece cake shop. Religious liberty in the Colorado Republican Party has been silent, sadly so. And a lot of people feel that it's abandoning the people of faith, and Jack Phillips deserves to be supported. The other question I have you on the budget, I have never seen a budget that doesn't give a comparison of what the amounts were spent last year on an item and what mm-hmm. recommended this year.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of any kind of intelligent
decision. Oh, sure. I'm on the boards of organizations as well. And no, I absolutely hear what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, you know, you and I can also have specific conversations as an executive committee member and a chairman that I'm not necessarily going to have on the radio, to be honest with you. But you and I can absolutely have more of those conversations, and you have every right to ask questions as a member of the executive committee. And I'm glad you have them and are planning on bringing them.
That's great. Then back to Jack Phillips. He asked you, only a two-part question, two completely different questions.
That's okay. So incidentally, I used to testify a lot at the legislature and hope to continue to do that as the chairwoman. And one of the bills I testified on was the kind of bill that would have preserved the religious rights of business leaders. So I believe those are the kind of bills we need to speak out on. We need to support them. I'm actually an allied attorney with ADF, which is the organization that took Jack Phillips' case. I have been at a Republican fundraiser for a candidate where they bought a cake from Jack Phillips to support him and brought it in. So I think there's a lot of small things, you know, perhaps that people in the Republican Party, candidates, people who go to the legislature have been doing to support him. And I think if there's, you know, without question, I support his rights to make his own choices at his business and his religious freedom.
What was that? A press release. Jack Phillips.
Support Jack Phillips. I mean, I think he has every single right. I think, you know, his cases are extremely important, and I hope the Supreme Court, you know, comes down with a stronger protection for business owners who are also religious. Like, they deserve more protection from the Supreme Court. I think they should have gone broader in that original case, and they didn't. So we'll see if they do that in the future.
Maybe what I would hope to see you guys do, because press releases, sometimes you don't need to do a press release anymore. Some of the media would ignore it anyway. But
they wouldn't ignore when it comes to the chairman. Julie, it is not unimportant. Let me finish. That the chair take a public position that is codified in a press release so everybody can see it.
And don't
say everybody ignores it as it's unimportant.
Let me finish either, Chrissy. No. So what I was going to say is what I think you could do even more effectively than just put out a press release is on social media. I mean, maybe when you see cases like this, not just sort of the general theory, but go ahead and say, hey, by the way, this person suing Jack Phillips, we're saying, you know, I, Christy Burton Brown, stand behind Jack Phillips. I mean, you could, on Twitter, the media would pick it up.
You should get killed on Twitter.
You get trolled, you get canceled.
You get canceled.
All right. Hey, well, we're out of time.
We're out of time, unfortunately. I'm sure you're saying, God, I wish they had another hour.
I want to thank you for coming on. Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And, you know, let us know. I know Chuck, you know, he's going to ask the hard questions. We're going to ask the hard questions. But let us know how we can help, because we want to help you help us. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I appreciate that. I'm sure we'll talk more. And thanks for having me on today.
All right. Thank you. Christy Burton Brown there. Some of the comments. Yeah, press release is no brainer. I think, yeah, see, Chuck, you interrupted me. It was like, let's put it out on social media.
Well, she'll both. get slaughtered.
But anyway, we're not.
Well, then you haven't been on Twitter enough
to find out what is this Mr. Who can't even tweet? You don't even have an account. Why are you arguing? Well, I just think it's a good idea for the Republican Party to get its message out, to not just put out a press release, but to go ahead and do what everyone
put out a press release on Twitter.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing. And then it gets out. You don't have to rely on Channel 9 and Kyle Clark, who's like moderating misinformation.
Press release doesn't just go to the press. It goes everywhere you want it to go.
Put it on social media is, I think, the way to go, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, so I'm not sure, guys, if we have issues with BBS. It looks like that there might have been a little bit, but shouldn't have been too much. But you can you can catch the shows at chuckandjulie.com. And love to have you like us, subscribe to us on YouTube. You can also get us on Podbean. Everywhere you go is the Chuck and Julie Show. On Friday, I want to thank Christy Burton Brown, by the way, for coming
on. Great.
And yes, and all the comments there too. We didn't have time to read them, but let's just say people are glad we were asking questions.
That's a gentle way of putting it.
On Friday, we're going to have Dave Bieri come on. He's an economics professor from Virginia Tech. We've had him on before. Great guy. British accent. He's from Great Britain, right?
No, he's from Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Okay. But he has it very much.
He does have a British accent.
He went after schooling and everything else. Well, in college, he went to school in Britain, so he picked up that British accent.
I wanted to talk to him about the difference between what's going on in Europe and the United States, even the most lockdown states in the United States, with COVID. And once again, what's working and what isn't working. As always, we'll also have Patrick Neville on to bring us up to speed on the evil doings at the state legislature. And we're going to be speaking Sunday at a Law Enforcement Appreciation Day down in Douglas County from 3 to 6. And we'll have Ron McLaughlin, the guy who organizes that. He doesn't know this yet, so we'll try to have him on as well. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Christy for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody. And we'll be having a party on Friday in this beautiful springtime.
All right. See you later. Thanks, BBS guys. And thanks, everybody on Zoom.